Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, it's been another week of some big titles going down, at least temporarily, if you believe in pausing as opposed to closing. Broadway is hardest hit, for many reasons, of course. More and more theaters are now dark. There are only 19 shows running in the 41 venues. Cast and crew members from shuttered productions are trying to figure out whether they even worked enough weeks to qualify for unemployment. Anyway, let's start with the biggie of the week. That would be To Kill a Mockingbird, a play that had been packing in audiences before the pandemic. Well, the producers announced that they would shut the show down until June, lay off the cast and crew, downsize the production, and then reopen in a smaller house. I think they're looking at the Belasco. Anyway, that's a lot of conditions. The Aaron Sorkin adaptation of the Harper Lee novel was, I believe, the biggest dramatic success in history. Not an empty seat since it opened, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, the show has been scheduled to travel as well, so, well, we shall see. At the same time, Girl from the North Country, a musical that uses the songs of Bob Dylan to color the Depression-era plight of a group of down-on-their-luck Midwesterners in the town where Dylan was born, in fact, well, said it would end its Broadway run on January 23rd and will try to reopen in another theater this spring. Well, as you know, I've been predicting that one. I like the show a lot, but even pre-pandemic, I questioned whether it would succeed on Broadway. Well, they became the 7th and 8th Broadway productions, I believe, to announce temporary or permanent closing dates since early December when Omicron hit. The cases have been soaring and fear returning in New York. Plans for short-term layoffs follow. They follow the example set by the musical Mrs. Doubtfire, you might recall, which recently said it would close for 9 weeks. So let's see how that all goes. By the way, it's not only happening in our country. The stages large and small overseas are also being hard hit. The uptick of infections in the last month has suspended or shortened live performances on the West End as severely as on Broadway. During the holiday season, productions fell one after another, including a new revival of Cabaret starring Eddie Redmayne, which opened to rave reviews, but then it lost a spate of performances. It's been also the case with Moulin Rouge over there, the Tony-winning musical whose much-delayed London opening now is scheduled for January 20th, as in this week. Closings have also occurred in much smaller or fringe theaters like The Bush, where a two-hander called Fair Play closed early because of the pandemic. The organizers of the Vault Festival decided to cancel what would have been the 10th anniversary of that important showcase for new work. Two well-known ones, the Royal Court and the National Theater, state-funded playhouses, shut their doors altogether during the lucrative holiday period. Andrew Lloyd Webber closed his new musical, Cinderella, until February. I am absolutely devastated, he said. Bottom line for theater lovers, do not cross the ocean to get your fix. Now, non-Broadway creative companies are keeping up the fight. The Metropolitan Opera, I'm not usually an opera fan, but they'll soon be offering The Garden of Finzi Contini's. Now, that story is set on the eve of World War II and focuses on an aristocratic Italian Jewish family who believe they will be immune to the changes happening around them as they make a haven for themselves in their garden, walling out the unpleasantness of the world outside. Italy forms an alliance with you-know-who and begins to enforce anti-Semitic racial laws. Well, the Finzi Continis discover too late that no one is immune, no one is untouchable. Like I said, I'm not an opera goer, but I'm interested in that one because I love the movie. I assume it's based on the movie. Anyway, that's at the Met. Production is supposed to start January 26th. The always enterprising Atlantic Theater has a new one up called S-H-H-H-H-H. It's part drama, part confession, part incantation. And it tells the story of a writer with a mysterious illness and her sister, a postal worker, who also makes some weird videos and hosts meditation rituals. Anyway, that's at the Atlantic Theater. And at Playwrights Horizons, also a top off-Broadway house, previews for Tambo and Bones begin January 19th. I believe that's tomorrow, or it might be today, whatever. This is a rags-to-riches hip-hop journey about America's racial past, present, and it explores America's post-racial future, assuming we have one. Taylor Reynolds directs Dave Harris's explosive award-winning comedy. Again, that's at Playwrights Horizons. Then there is a new musical set to open at some point from the new group company. That most recent announcement read, due to delays brought about by COVID and to provide the safest environment possible for our audience and company members, we have made the decision to move the start date of Black No More performances. Will now begin Tuesday, January 18th. That is today, with a strictly limited engagement to Sunday, February 27th. Again, that's Black No More. New group. So, things are still chaotic, uncertain. Check out Hugh, if you want some little high way to start your day, check out Hugh Jackman's lovely sentiments on Twitter and YouTube as he returned to the Winter Garden for performances of The Music Man. That is really, he is a trooper. Anyway, it is day to day for now. The New York Times this week called this the winter of theater's discontent. So, Jill, we shall see what we shall be able to see.
Well, that's original.
Yeah.
The winter of theater's discontent. I thought, what did they call it last year? I'm sorry.
I assume the same thing.
Exactly.
The first winter. Maybe
right.
The first winter.
Right. I think we should move on to, it's like, okay, the second winter. So tell me, same thing with smaller houses? You had mentioned that... workshops were workshopping and certain things were rehearsing. So I suspect that in smaller configurations, things are still happening.
I mean, these, like I said, the Atlantic, Playwrights Horizon, New Group, those are the top off-Broadway houses. Yes, they're rehearsing, and yes, they have dates to open, but, you know, they have a lot of, I mean, they don't have the kind of money at stake that a Broadway house has, obviously, or a Broadway show and producers and investors have so much more at stake, per se. On the other hand, these little theaters, they depend on their supporters, you know. And a lot of those kind of supporters, they tend to get older audiences, I would say. Certainly the Atlantic does. And those are the people, as you know, who are still a little nervous about showing up. So, you know, just a lot of in uncertainty right now. But I think, what's the date today? Honestly, I don't know. I think it is the 18th or 19th, something like that. I really think by February, there's a very big spring lineup coming to Broadway with lots of stars. I mean, you've got Daniel Craig coming in Macbeth. You've got Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick coming and Neil Simon. There's a lot of big names coming. And, you know, I assume they're rehearsing somewhere, you know, to get ready. It's Sarah Jessica, no, the other one, Mary Louise Parker is coming in Drive, he said. I mean, you know, those shows were supposed to open a year and a half ago. So I assume those actors remember their lines. I hope so.
Right. You know, this is the benefit of rehearsal. You know, something that people rarely talk about, and most, unless you are a theater person, don't quite know about, is how you do replacements and how you rehearse understudies. These are going on constantly when you have a show up. So it's not as though everything, it's not that you have to start it, stop it, and start it, and stop it. You know, there are systems, let's just say, in place for keeping these things going.
That's right. Well, right now, it's fair to say understudies have understudies as we speak, literally.
Oh, yeah.
Because so many of the understudies have been, you know, fallen ill. I mean, there was a great story last week about the Lion King, the two girls who play little Nala, the two little girls. Both got sick, and the little boy who plays, you know, the little Simba came in to play the little girl. I mean, so, you know, there are heroic stories out there. They're
right.
One of them, you know, the Thoughts of a Colored Man, the playwright came in to take over for one of the actors. So, how long that can last, you know, before people get worn out. But this is going to pass. I mean,
it feels as though I have to not jump up and down and say, folks, it's January. Anyway, folks, it's January.
That's right.
January traditionally rots. You know, it's January. We lose shows in January all the time.
That's right. It's always so most shows close, fewer shows open in January, not to mention that it's cold in January.
Exactly. No one really loves standing in
line. It's the first time it's been cold. I happen to be on the West Coast right now. And there's some stuff here. I went to an art. Well, museums are open. We know that. They're trying to get performances up here, not those kind of performances. But I happen to be in Palm Springs right now, and they are doing something this week with Catherine McPhee and her husband, David Foster. They're doing a concert together. She was one of the stars of Waitress, you know, when it opened on Broadway. So, yeah, in other towns, probably yours, you're in a real theater area. You know, things are moving along. I'm just praying that people will come.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.